We're also joined by David Klepper, the State House reporter for the Associated Press, filling in for the vacationing Scott McKay. Hello, David.
Hello, Ian. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Ernie, you say you're running for state treasurer next year because you want Rhode Island to be a better place and move past its longtime economic struggles. What specifically would you do as treasurer to make that difference?
Well, there's four main areas that I would focus on. The first one being developing a strong investment strategy for the state of Rhode Island. And the reason why that's helpful to all the citizens is if you reduce risk, reduce costs, improve returns, that reduces the amount that the taxpayers have to pay to govern their state. The second area is to develop sort of a floating chief financial officer concept. What I would do as a CPA, I noticed when I was the Auditor General, we had a lot of cities and towns that had financial problems. So what we would do in the Treasurer's office is develop a strong financial resource for the cities and towns to help them with five-year budgeting plans, to do lease versus buy, when to go out and borrow money. And again, provide a resource, not tell them what to do. They make their own decisions. And that will help cities and towns operate on a more efficient level. The third area would be I'm the national chairman on Financial Literacy Commission. It would be to go out and help the citizens of the state of Rhode Island learn about their finances so that they could be more self-reliant and less reliant on their government.
Let's go to David Klepper.
Ernie, what did you make of the landmark pension reform law that was passed 2 years ago?
You know, when I was the Auditor General for 15 years, I spoke about that problem for a long time. And I kept saying if we didn't fix that, that what we'd be doing is leaving the next generation in a lot worse position than the current generation was. And I always said that if we're not going to fix it, let's just send our children and grandchildren invoices instead of Christmas cards and birthday cards. Let's be honest with them. We're passing on a debt to them. So something had to be done. And I served on that committee that provided recommendations for the legislation, but never saw it until the end. And I testified on it. And I told them that this makes a substantial down payment on fixing the problem, but does not fix it completely.
How would you assess State Treasurer Gina Raimondo's performance in that job and, in particular, her management of the state pension fund?
Well, first of all, she definitely professionalized that office, and I give a lot of credit for that. And she tackled some very serious problems, which that's part of exercise and leadership. Now, any individual can look at different things and say, I would have done it a different way, including myself. But overall, fixing the pension problem is extremely important. It affects taxpayers, it affects employees and retirees. So again, I consider it to be a substantial down payment, but did not fix it completely. And I do believe in working out an agreement with people to solve it rather than having to force it through legislation.
And in terms of the management of the pension fund, the fund did a lot better over the last fiscal year. I believe it was around 11 or 12% after only about 1.5% the year before. That's a big improvement, but still not as good as the S&P or CalPERS. What do you make of that performance?
Well, the thing is, one thing of being involved in investments my whole career, you cannot take a snapshot of 1 year, of one point in time. It really requires long-term financial strategy, not short-term financial strategy. And I think it'd be intellectually dishonest to just attack someone for 1 year worth of income. You actually have to look at it over a longer period of time.
You were one of the first publicly announced candidates for governor before you decided to throw your hat in the ring for treasurer.
Yes.
Why'd you make the switch? Was it the increasing number of candidates vying for governor, or was treasurer just a better fit?
Well, when I first started out, you know, I mentioned I have five sons. Four of them had to go to other states to get jobs. There was really nothing here for them. And I was like, this is wrong. We have history, art, culture, so many great things in our state. Why are we losing our youth and our brain trust to go somewhere else? So I got frustrated with just government not having a vision and a plan. But when I was out there speaking to the citizens around the state, you realize as a certified public accountant and a certified fraud examiner, my skill set matches up exactly with the treasurer's office. And there's a lot of quality candidates running for governor. I could work with any one of them to move our state forward. That's why I made that decision.
How would you describe the main differences between your only rival right now for the treasurer's office, former treasurer Frank Caprio, who has not indicated whether he's going to run as a Democrat, Republican, or independent? Beyond that, what are the main differences between you and him?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm really just focusing in on my campaign and what I will do to work to help the state of Rhode Island. But I can tell you that there's a clear line between the two of us, and you have someone who's held government positions for numerous years, almost 20 years as a representative, a senator, and then the treasurer. But by almost every metric in the state of Rhode Island, we're in 49th or 45th place. I always tell Evan, I'm going to bring my education, my experience, my ethics, and my maturity to move this state forward so a million people can be successful in the state of Rhode Island.
You are you have some experience going after fraud, and certainly fraud, waste, and abuse of government funds is a hot political topic often, though the numbers and the dollars saved in some of these investigations is not always that big. How prevalent do you think fraud is in government, and what can the treasurer do to stamp it out?
Well, one of the things is the Auditor General, I was an advisor to the Comptroller General of the United States of America and helped write the auditing standards for the whole federal government and all state governments. And you're right, as a certified public accountant, certified and financial forensics, certified fraud examiner, I do that for a living. And so one of the things you do, anytime you introduce money into any system, there's a potential for fraud. So what we have here is we have approximately $8 billion budget, so there's always an opportunity. But look, as the treasurer, is that last line before the check goes out the door. What I plan on doing is installing an internal audit position into the treasurer's office that we can be that last line of defense for the citizens and take my education, experience, and ethics and maturity and apply it to the office.
We're talking here with Democratic candidate for general treasurer Ernie Almonte. Ernie, you're a student of the economy, so I'm curious as to your view about whether enough oversight and regulation is in place to prevent the kind of Wall Street boondoggles that preceded the Great Recession from happening again.
Well, to me, there always has to be a balance between regulation and letting business be free to produce profits and be successful. It's what that balance is. And what I found in my career is the pendulum swings many times, sometimes too far. I remember that I was out giving speeches on fraud to CPAs around the country at the time that was taking place. I said, I can't believe they're giving out loans to people that don't have a job and they're buying a home with no money down. I said, where's the regulation here? So it swings from place to place.
How do you feel about it right now? Do you think we've learned the lessons that we should have learned from that?
We live in a complex world and it requires complex solutions. And the people that try to do things wrong will always look at ways to do things in a devious manner. So we have to be creative all the time to be one step ahead. And in government, we seem to be one step behind.
The pension overhaul from 2 years ago covered the retirement plans for teachers, but left many municipal employees unaffected, forcing municipalities that in some cases are still struggling mightily with big pension bills to take this issue on by themselves. What do you think the state could do to assist its struggling municipalities with pensions or with their finances in general?
Well, that's why one of the things I plan on doing in the treasurer's office, have that initiative to be sort of a floating chief financial officer to provide financial resources, run the numbers for them so they can make informed decisions. We have to keep in mind that in all those cities and towns, they negotiated those contracts and they signed those contracts. So they actually were the creator of those liabilities that took place. And we also have to keep in mind that a good financial decision, a good political decision, butt heads all the time. And a lot of times those individual communities chose a good political decision over a good financial decision. But what we would do when I become the treasurer is provide those resources, run the numbers for them, say, look, this is the best avenue in order to solve that problem, whether it's putting more money into the pension plan, whether it's adjusting the benefits. However, it gets to a point where it becomes better for the citizens, the employees, and the retirees.
We have a lot of quasi-public agencies here in Rhode Island, like the State Economic Development Corporation, and they don't always get a lot of internal oversight, as we saw with 38 Studios. Is there a need, in your view, for more internal oversight to be built into state government?
In the Auditor General's office, we had the audit responsibility. 15 years, I was the Auditor General to audit those agencies, and we would always look at policies and procedures and audit them on that. I do believe the EDC, I mean, they have a great executive director now, Marcel Vawa. I have tremendous respect for him. But in any agency, you need strong internal policies to protect, especially when you have money in place, and so that we don't have mistakes from the past repeat themselves. And I think we need stronger internal controls in that department. From a policy point of view, I think we have to realize the state of Rhode Island doesn't have such a large pocketbook and money to fund to compete with the Massachusetts or Connecticut. So let's not try to invest too much money in one company, and because they have deeper pockets, they can do that. So by smaller loans to more businesses that in Rhode Island reduces our risk and diversifies your loans. The second thing is really realize that maybe we're a AAA team and we're not going to be a major league team. So from a business point of view, why don't we look at the companies in the supply chain rather than trying to grab the Fortune 100 companies. Why would they come here? They'd probably go somewhere else. But let's work with Massachusetts and Connecticut and take all the supply chain companies, and that's how we can move the state forward. So focus on loans to that piece, and it would be successful.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. David Klepper from the Associated Press.
Thanks for having me.
And Democrat candidate for state treasurer, Ernest Almonte.
Thank you very much.